All right, we're going to hear on the top of Samach Lamed Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah has a similar format to the previous Mishnah, which is it's laying out different permutations of aspects of the mincha. Yesh te'unot hagasha, ve'ein te'unot tnufa. There's some of the menachot that require hagasha, which is taking it and touching it to the southwestern corner of the mizbeach, but they do not require tnufa, which is a wave offering to be done on them. Hagasha utnufa. There's some that need both, the hagasha and the tnufa. Tnufa velo hagasha. Some that require the wave offering, but not the hagasha, not touching to the mizbeach. And then there's some, lo tnufa velo hagasha. And there's some that don't require either the tnufa nor the hagasha. You can see, you know, better the Shita Mikubet said that he just changes the order here of the Mishnah just to make it more logical, which is that it would be hagasha without tnufa, tnufa without hagasha, and then it would be hagasha and tnufa, and then the last category would be no hagasha and no tnufa. That way it would be more logical in laying out the permutations, as well as match up with the examples that are brought in the Mishnayot. Ve'elu te'unot hagasha, ve'ein te'unot tnufa. These following menachot require that they be touched to the corner of the mizbeach, but they do not require a wave offering. Minchat ha-solet. So this, again, list should be familiar. It's very similar to the list that we saw in the previous Mishnah. So the first menachot that are listed over here are the minchat nidvat v'achid. So you have minchat ha-solet, machavat, the shallow pan, marcheshet, the deep pan, bechalot v'rikikim, the mafet tanur, the two types of mafet tanur, the chalot and the rikikim, minchat kohanim, minchat kohen mashiach. So again, any mincha of a kohen, which is kalil, minchat kohen mashiach, which is the minchat chavitin, minchat nachrim. In the previous Mishnah, it was minchat oved kochavim, over here is nachrim, minchat nashim, a woman's mincha, or minchat choteh. And the mincha of a choteh. If you look carefully again, there are 10 menachot that are listed over here, and that will become important when we start out the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, minchat kohanim, minchat kohen mashiach, ein bahem hagasha, fish ein bahem kmitza. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that with regards to the minchat kohanim and minchat kohen mashiach, which are kalio, both of them go on the mizbeach without any komets being taken off of them, there's a correlation between komets and hagasha. They do not require hagasha because they don't have any kmitza. Choshem ben kmitza, ein bahem hagasha. Anything that doesn't have a kmitza associated with it, there is no hagasha associated with it. Now, as Tosfot points out, the Mishnah's usage of kmitza over here is actually not the real reason. It's a siman and not a siba. It's just an indication of the fact that you're not going to have hagasha. It is not the reason. In the Gemara will bring the reasons for each of the items that do not require hagasha, and part of that will come from the fact that they don't have shirayim the kohanim, or the fact that they don't have any portion that goes on the mizbeach, or the fact that they don't come independently, they come along with another korban. So there are going to be numerous items that are excluded for different reasons. What the Mishnah notes over here is that it's a siman, one indication of the fact that you're not going to be hagasha is the lack of kmitza. Because all of those items and those disparate issues are coalesced under the same thing, which is none of them require a kmitza. Because otherwise, as the Balei Tosfot will point out, Rabbi Shimon has an unusual position later on in the Masechta that a minchat choteh of a kohen does require a kmitza. So even though it's kalil al mizbeach, nevertheless, a minchat choteh of a kohen does require a kmitza. If that's the case, it should also require hagasha. Yet we know that minchat kohen does not require hagasha. So that's why Tosafot indicates that the kmitza here is not the reason, but rather a siman. Amar Rav Papa, kohecha d'tnan, eser tnan. So again, here we have the same cryptic statement by Rav Papa, identical to what we saw yesterday on the Mishnah. Again, Maika Mashmalan, what's he telling us? Lafuke min de Rabbi Shimon. This comes to tell you that the Mishnah is not following the position of Rabbi Shimon. Damar mechza chalot u'mechza rikikim yavi. That the mafet tanur, you're allowed to bring it half chalot, half rikikim. Kamash malan, delo. The kamash malan from our Mishnah is that you can't do that. So again, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, I told you yesterday about Rav Papa, and there are two different lishonot in Rav Papa. So the two lishonot in Rav Papa that we saw yesterday are, one, eser means that all the items in this Mishnah come in series of 10. So anything that's enumerated here, they're going to be brought with 10. We already noted the problems with that yesterday. The minchat solet is not clear that it has to be baked at all. as far as the hakrava of the mincha, it comes as solid. It comes as flour. It's then given to the kohanim. Question is, when the kohanim bake it, do they have to bake it in a series of 10, or can they do whatever they like with it? So that's one deficit in that explanation. The other one we noted was the kohen mashiach. The minchat kavitim comes as 12 units, 6 in the morning, 6 in the afternoon, not 10 units. But the idea being that each of these that are enumerated here are 10, and then that would preclude Rabbi Shimon's position, because he believes that when it comes to the mafet tanur, you can have 5 chalot and 5 rikikim. And here, Rav Papa is telling us that it's all 10. The other option is that the enumerations here are of 10 types of minachot. Similar to what we said yesterday, first sequence was of 10 different minachot. Over here again, there's 10 minachot. Now 10, not 11. And the difference being that the way that ours lays out is that there's or chalot or rikikim. There's no option for chalot and rikikim, which would have made an 11th option for Rabbi Shimon. And that's why Rav Papa's statement that says eser means that it's to preclude or to tell us that Rabbi Shimon's position is not accepted by the Mishnah. Now Gemara says, Minahane Mile. How do we know about this din of Hagasha? Ditan Rabbanan, because we have in the Sukkim with regards to Minchat Yachid, Ilu Ne'amar, had it written, so obviously this is not what is written there in the Pasuk, this is Perek Bet, Pasuk Ched in Bayikra, there it says, Ve'veite Ta Mincha, Asher ya'ase me'ela la'ashem, ikriva el ha'kohen, ve'higisha el ha'mizbeach. There's your source for Hagasha, that's found after the Menachot of the Yachid are enumerated, after the Menchat Marcheshet, it brings this Pasuk. We're going to quote the Pasuk, leaving out the word. Ve'veita asher ya'ase me'ela la'ashem. They skip the words et ha'mincha in quoting it now, and that's what the Gemara is going to say. Haiti omer, had I just had it without the words etem incha, ein li shetahun hagasha ele komets bilvad. I would have thought the only part of the mincha that requires being touched the mizbeach is the komets, because the part of the pasuk says, asher yaseh me'ilu la'ashem. That which is brought to Hashem needs to have hagasha. And the komets is the only aspect of the mincha that needs to be touched the mizbeach. Mincha minayin. How do I know that a mincha itself, the whole mincha, before you take the komets off of it, requires hagasha? Tamalomar mincha. That's what the pasuk says. Veita eta mincha asher yaseh me'ilu la'ashem. So the words eta mincha are there to teach you not only does the komets need hagasha, but also the mincha itself. Minchat chote minayin. How do you know that a minchat chote is also included here? Because the veita eta mincha asher yaseh me'ilu la'ashem is a pasuk found by the minchat nidvat yachid. Not found by the minchat chote. So how do I know that besides the minachot that are listed here, other minachot also require hagasha, like the minchat chote? Tamad omar, et ha-mincha. The extra word et is a ribui. So et ha-mincha comes to include other minachot besides those that are enumerated here, which are the solet, the machavat, the marcheshet, and the mafet tonur. Beyond those, we're going to include other minachot with the word et. The Meshech Chochma has a cute way of explaining this drasha, which is in the context of the pasuk where it says, et ha-mincha asher yaseh me'ilu la'ashem. It's a mincha that has a portion of the character traits of the menachot above. And that's a minchat choteh, which is similar, but dissimilar. It has some of the features of the korbanot above, but it's missing the shemen and levona. And that's how they learn from the riboy of et ha-mincha to include the minchat choteh. Tosmo just notes that's a little strange that the writer of the Tanakhama here focuses on Minchat Choteh as his first inclusionary piece and doesn't address what seems to be more central issues with regards to the Mincha, including the Machloket that we saw in the Mishnah about Minchat Kohanim and Minchat Kohen Mashiach. In addition, Tosmo asks, why don't we just learn all this from the Zot Torah Mincha, which is found in Parshat Tzav, which we've already used earlier to tell you that there's Torah Chat, the Chol HaMinachot. So Tosafot says that the problem is in the pasuk that we're quoting over here, of Ve'heveita, as we're going to see through the Braita, there are three terminologies there that are inclusive, L'rabot, and three terminologies that are L'ma'et, that are exclusive. And so the pasuk seems to indicate to you that you can't just look at all the Minachot with one broad stroke, but rather you have to look at them more individually. And then you have to logically understand which three are make sense to include and which three make sense to exclude. And that's why it's going about it piecemeal, because of the fact that the Braita is going to develop each of these words is important in determining what is or is not included. And that's why the Gemara doesn't go to the default way to bring all korbanot together, which is the Zot HaTorah or Zot Torat, which is found in Parshat Tzav. Bedinu, the truth is that it could have been a logical argument. Nemar Hocha, it says over here, Minchat Hova, Nemar Hocha, Minchat Nidava. So we have a Minchat Nidava, which is the enumerations in Perek Bet, and we have a Minchat Hova, which is in Perek A, the Minchat Kotem. Ma Minchat Nidava Teuna Hagasha, just like the Minchat Nidava requires Hagasha, Af Minchat Hova Teuna Hagasha. So too, the Minchat Chova should require Hagasha. Ma leminchat nidava, shekein tuna shemen ulevona. Is that really an extrapolable position? Because the minchat nidava is differentiated from the minchat koten in the fact that it has shemen and levona. It comes with the other enhancements that don't come with the minchat koten, which is a minchat chareva. Minchat sota tochiach. So the mincha of the sota will prove that otherwise. Mala minchat sota, shekein teuna tnufa. Wait a minute, minchat sota, yes, it requires hagasha. It doesn't have the enhancements, it doesn't have shemen, it doesn't have levona, despite the fact it requires hagasha, but the minchat sota also requires a wave offering tnufa. So then, if I learn it from minchat sota, I would require you to do not only hagasha, but also tnufa. So minchat nidava tochiach. So between the two of them, between the Minchat Nidava and the Minchat Sota, between the two of them, I can have a Tzada Shaveh, which will teach me this din. B'chazer din, lo reizeh, kireizeh. The Minchat Nidava is not like the Minchat Sota. The Minchat Nidava has oil and libona on it, whereas the Minchat Sota does not. Lo reizeh, kireizeh. And the Minchat Sota has a wave offering associated with it, which the Minchat Nidava does not have. Tzada Shaveh Shaveh. The common denominator between them, sheshavu lekmitza, they both require a kmitza be taken off the mincha, sheshavu lehagasha, and they require hagasha. Af ani avi minchat kote, sheshavu lehen lekmitza, sheshavu lehen lehagasha. So too, the minchat kote that requires a kmitza be taken off of it, so too it should require a hagasha. So now that would then preclude the necessity to have a pasuk to teach you about the minchat kote, because you can just learn it logically. But there's also a common denominator between them, and we know if they share something or they have a common denominator between them that does not show up in other places, that's going to create a problem. When it comes to minchat nedava and the minchat soda, there's no differentiation between the economic capabilities of the individual bringing the korban. A wealthy individual and a poor individual can bring it. Tomar b'minchat koteh, shluch shira lavo b'ashir ki b'ani. That's not true by the minchat koteh. Minchat koteh is only an option for someone who economically can't afford the higher level korban. Whether it's the birds or whether it's the animal, this is the bottom rung of the korban olevio, right? And it's economically driven. So then maybe you can't learn out the minchat koteh from the minchat nedavan sota, where economics don't play any role. So Talmud Lomar, that's why we need the pasuk to teach us et mincha, because logically you would have been unable to learn it. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me that minchat koteh is included. Now Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Braita is a long Braita, and we're going to have different Tanaim give different limudim here. And as Rashi notes over here with regards to Rabbi Shimon Omer, he says that there's no difference. Rabbi Shimon and Tanakama lo plige. Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama don't argue. Elamar darish chado, omar darish chado. Each one of them is doresh, a different aspect or a different limud here, but they're not necessarily arguing. Rabbi Shimon omer veheveta. The rabot minchata omer lahagasha. The word heveta at the beginning of the pasuk after marcheshet, the one that we read before, perk bet pasuk chet veheveta the minchasha yasem elah lashem yikriv alakoyin v'gishal mizbeach. So from the word ve'veita, we learn out the minchat ha'omer requires hagasha. V'cheinu omer, because the wording that is used by the minchat ha'omer is, v'veitem et omer reshit kitzirchem ala kohen. That pasuk that's found in Parshat Emor with regards to the korban ha'omer, it also uses the word ve'veitem. So we draw a quasi gezerus of here, and say veveta vevetem. And that teaches you that the omer also requires hagasha. Vikriva. So the verb vikriva also appears in the pasuk that we read, which says vikriva lakoin vigishal mizbeach. Rabot minchat sota lagasha. That's how we know that the minchat sota requires hagasha. V'cheinu omer, because there also it says vikrivota ela mizbeach. So the lashon or the verb hikriv is used by the sota, and we're going to parallel that with the hikriva that is found in the pasuk here. So Rabbi Shimon adds on two additional korbanot, mincha, that require hagasha, that's minchat omer and the minchat sota, and he does it through the gzeres shava with the wording in the pasuk of hagasha that's found here by the minchat yachid. Right again says v'dinu, do you really need the limud? You could have learned this in a logical manner. Ma minchat choteh she'ena tuuna tnufa tuuna hagasha. Minchat choteh that does not require a wave offering, nevertheless requires hagasha. Minchat sota she'tuuna tnufa enu din she'tuuna hagasha. The minchat sota that does require a wave offering, that is explicit by the minchat sota, then certainly it should require hagasha. Ma le minchat choteh she'kein ba'ach hitin. Wait a minute, maybe the minchat choteh has a chumra from which you can't learn, because it comes or derives from wheat. It's a wheat-based korban. Minchat omer tochiach. Minchat omer will help you out here. Mala minchat omer, which comes from se'orim. So therefore, it will offset the fact that the minchat choteh comes from chidim. Shekein tuna shemen elubona. Minchat omer is differentiated from the minchat choteh and the minchat sota in the fact that it does get shemen and libona on it. So minchat choteh tochiach. So the minchat choteh will be the offsetting factor here. You want to learn to minchat sota that requires hagasha. So we start by trying to learn it from a minchat choteh. So the problem with learning from minchat choteh is wheat and minchat sota is barley. No problem, we'll bring in the minchat omer. The minchat omer is also from barley, and yet it does require hagasha. So now between the minchat omer and the minchat choteh, I have one from wheat, one from barley. I also have the fact that the minchat omer has shemen in levona, minchat choteh doesn't. So each one of those items will be wiped out when you do a tzara shaveh. B'chazer adin, lo reizeh kereizeh. The minchat choteh is not like the minchat omer because it doesn't have shemen in levona. Lo reizeh kereizeh. Minchat omer is not like the minchat choteh because it comes from barley, not wheat. Tzara shaveh shaveh. So those factors are offset because they're obviously not what is driving the need for hagasha over here, because they're absent in one of these two menachot. So the common denominator between them is Shishavu the Kemitza and Shavu the Hagasha. They both require a Kemitza. They both require Hagasha. Afanei Yavi Minchat Sota Shishavta Lahen the Kemitza Tishava Lahen the Hagasha. Just like it is equal to them with regards to the Kemitza, so too it should be equal to them to require a Hagasha. Gemara again says you can't use this logical argument because there's a big difference between sota and the other menachot. Minchat sota says kemach se'orim. It comes from barley flour. On the other hand, when it comes to every one of the other menachot, it says the word solet, fine flour. So both minchat choteh, which is solet chitin, and the minchat omer, which is solet se'orim, but it still requires fine flour. On the other hand, the minchat sota is a coarser grain, a coarser flour, and there it says kemach se'orim and not solet se'orim. The Gemara in sota darshins from that she acted like maseh behema. Therefore, we give her a mincha that is like the feed of a behema, which is a coarser barley, which is normally used for animal feed. So there is a distinction that can't be overcome because choteh and omer require solet and sota only requires kemach. So maybe the solet is the driving factor over here. And then you can't learn from these menachot to the minchat sota. Tamalomar ve'ikriva. That's why we need the pasuk ve'ikriva. Rabbi Yehuda omer. So now we have another tana in the braita. Veheveta l'rabot minchat sota l'hagasha. So now he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon used ve'veita to teach you that the minchat omer requires hagasha. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda uses ve'veita to teach you that the minchat sota requires hagasha. V'cheinu omer ve'vi et korbana aleha. So again, we find a gzera shava of sorts, find the word appearing by sota, and from that word, we're going to learn that the minchat sota also requires hagasha. About minchat omer, lo tzricha kra. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said you need a pasuk for sota, and you need a pasuk for omer. Now, he only tested sota. He says, I can't learn sota out logically, and therefore I need a pasuk for sota. He never logically tested omer. That's what we're going to see Rabbi Yehuda say over here. You don't need a pasuk at my time, medina katya, because it comes logically. Logic would allow you to learn omer, ma minchat kota, she'ena tuna tnufa, tuna agasha. Minchat kota that does not require a wave offering does require agasha. Minchat omer she'tuna tnufa. The minchat omer, the korban omer, which is mentioned in Parshat Emor, that requires tnufa, is mentioned explicitly there. Enu din she'tuna agasha? Certainly should require agasha. Mala minchat kota. What about the fact that the minchat kote is from wheat and the minchat omer is from barley? Minchat sota tochiach. That you can learn out from the minchat sota. Ma la minchat sota shekein ba'ab barer avon. What about the minchat sota? It has a unique aspect to it, which may be the driving force over here, is the fact that it's coming livarer avon, in order to check out, clarify whether there was a sin over here. Minchat chote tochiach. Minchat chote will offset that factor. B'chazer adin. And again here, you will go back and forth and realize you think the driving force over here is the fact that it comes from chitin. That's why you need hagasha. I have a minchat sota that requires hagasha and it comes from barley. You're telling me that the reason that the minchat sota requires hagasha is because it's mivarer avon. I have the minchat chote, which is not mivarer avon, and yet it still requires hagasha. They don't have the same chumrot associated with them. The common denominator between a minchat kote and minchat sota is shkein shavu l'kemitza. They both require a kemitza. Shavu l'hagasha. And they both require hagasha l'mizbeach. Af ani avi minchat omer sheshavta lehen l'kemitza teshavah lehen l'hagasha. So just like the minchat omer is similar to them in requiring a kemitza, so too it should require hagasha. So that is the view of Rabbi Yehuda. I don't need a pasuk from Minchat Omer. Once I know that Minchat Chote requires Hagasha from Et HaMincha, and I know that the Minchat Sota requires Hagasha from the word Veheveta, then I don't need a word to teach me about the Omer, because I can derive that from a logical extension or extrapolation from Minchat Chote and Minchat Sota. And even though by the Minchat Sota, it's actually written almost explicitly that it requires hagasha, because it says lakach hakohen miyad haisha et minchat hakinaot veikrivota el hamizbeach. That hakrava is hagasha. It's not putting it on the mizbeach because the kometz has yet to be taken off. That happens in the next pasuk. So then, why even need this limud to teach you that the minchat sota requires hagasha? So the Rashash points out that if you only had the pasuk by sota, you would know about hagasha, but you would not know where the Hagasha should take place. From the Menachot over here, we learned that it has to be done on the southwestern corner, that we already discussed, because it has to be Lifnei Hashem and El Pnei HaMizbeach. And so therefore, the location of the Hagasha is what we're learning, not the Hagasha itself. That will help also with the question that Tosafot raises, is why does Rabbi Shimon learn Minchat Omer from Veveta and Minchat Sota from Ikriva? Why does he learn like Rabbi Yehuda that Minchat Sota should also come from the word Veveta? One of the answers could be exactly this, that by Sota we need less information. There's less reason to learn Sota than there is to learn the Omer. By the Omer, you're learning both the Hagasha and the location of the Hagasha. By the Minchat Sota, you're only learning the issue of location. Although the Tosafot just seemed to indicate that it is a machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda as what seems to be the more logical or appropriate mincha to learn from the word veveta. Is it the sota or is it the omer? And that actually influences then the remaining necessity for a limud. If you learn sota from there, then you can learn korban omer from a logical extrapolation. Well, then if you learn it from korban omer, then you can't learn the minchat sota from minchat omer, because the logical failing of trying to learn it from a minchat omer and minchat chote to minchat sota. Umay parachta, Rabbi Shimon parich, hochi. What pircha, what undermining position does Rabbi Shimon have over here that he didn't do this? Rabbi Shimon before said, I have a word in the pasuk to teach me Omer. Why didn't he learn it logically like Rabbi Yehuda? He must have seen some sort of failure in the logic. The difference is, or the unique aspect of these korbanot, is that they are commonplace. These are korbanot that can come on a regular basis or a frequent basis. Now, there's a nuance to what he's saying. The minchat ha'omer only comes once a year. Minchat sotah can come numerous times during the year. Minchat choteh can also come numerous times during the year. So his point is that both the minchat sotah and minchat choteh are mitzuyin. They can happen multiple times during a year, as opposed to the omer that can only happen once a year. So maybe that's the driving factor as to why they need hagasha. So Rabbi Yehuda, how does Rabbi Yehuda respond to this? Adrabo, ha mitzuya tvei. It is more common to have the minchat omer. Hanach zimnin delo mishkachad laklal. You know for certain that the minchat omer will be there at least once a year. It's not clear that you'll have a sota at all. Who says you have a minchat sota? You go through a whole year and never have a minchat sota. 2 years and not have one. Or you can have a minchat koteh. Now, that's less likely, but you can have this period of time where you won't have a minchat koteh. He says, I don't see your point. You're telling me the common denominator between koteh and sota is their quote-unquote frequency, the fact that they can come more than once a year as opposed to omer can only come once a year. The truth is that might just have the opposite effect. The omer, by definition, will be there once a year. Doesn't mean you have to have a minchat sota. There's no guarantee that you're going to have a minchat sota. You can go with a year without it. And therefore, I don't see that as an undermining factor. And actually, the difference in their opinion here might have influence in other aspects of halacha. Because basically, they're trying to determine what is considered to be matzoi and eno matzoi, or the language that we've seen in the Gemara, tadir and she'enu tadir. And what you see here is a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to what is the determining factor of tadir. Is tadir have to do with the frequency upon which this happens, or the possibility of the frequency of this item happening, or does it have to do with the obligation? So Rabbi Yehuda focuses on the obligatory side. Something that you're obligated to bring is tadir because it will or has to be brought. On the other hand, something that could be more frequent, but it's not obligatory, that doesn't determine to the root. On the other hand, for Rabbi Shimon, it's just the opposite. It's not the fact that you have to bring it. It is, in fact, how many times do you actually bring it that will determine tadir. And since we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Shimon generally, that means that that will be influential when we have a clash between these two forms of tadirut as to which one will be classified as tadir and enu tadir. Oh, so now back to the Braita's position over here with what did we use the word veveta for? O enu omer veveta, ela sheyachid mitnadev, omer mincha acheret, chutz me'ela shebinyan. Maybe the word veveta comes to teach us something totally different, not the mincha hagasha for mincha ta'omer according to Rabbi Shema, not hagasha for the mincha tzuta for Rabbi Yehuda, but rather it comes to teach us that there are more minachot of the yachid that can be brought. We only have five that are enumerated here in Perek Bed and Vayikra, Solet, Machavat, Marcheshet, and then Mafet Tanur, which has two manifestations, Cholaot and Rikitim, five. So what it's saying over here is, maybe the word veveta is telling you can bring other minachot as a minchat nidava beyond those that are mentioned here. Vidinu, and it would make sense. Tzibor mevi mincha minachitim, chuva, umevi mincha minasorim chuva. The tzibor brings obligatory minachot from chitim. That's all the minachot that the tzibor brings in general come from chitim, including the lechem apanim, the shtei lechem, the minchat nisachim. All the minachot come from wheat. And it also brings one from barley, which is the minchat ha'omer. So they have obligatory offerings in both these areas. So too by the yachid, where he brings all the minachot that are mentioned here in Perek Bet, are minachot that come from chitim, that come from wheat. So there should be some manifestation of a minchat nidava of barley. We don't find that anywhere. So maybe that's what the Haveta is coming to teach you. And actually be a reverse almost of the Gzer Shava before. The Haveta will teach us just like the Sota brings a Mincha of Silrim, so too the the Yachid can bring a voluntary mincha that comes from Tzorim. Tamalomar Eile. That's what the pasuk says. Ve'eita and a mincha she'aseh me'eile. From amongst these are the ones that are enumerated here. In the Eile Eile. You don't have the right to bring any other minachot or minchat nidava aside from those that are enumerated here. Oh, in Omer Eile, Elolomer, Harei Alay Mincha, Shemivik Chamishatam. So maybe the word Eile comes to you not that you're limited to the five, not that you're limited to the five minachot of the Yachid that are mentioned over here. Rather, Eile comes to teach you. If an individual says, I will bring a mincha, what is the definition of the mincha they must bring? Maybe you have to bring all five of them. That's what it means, Eile. When you bring a mincha, you must bring all five of these types of minachot. You have to have like a platter of minachot that you're going to bring. Tamilomar, me'ele. So that's what the mem does in front of the Eile. Me'ele. From amongst these. Ratzachat maybe. Ratzach chamishatan maybe. You get to choose. You can bring one. You can bring five. You can bring as many as you choose. Eile teaches us only these five. Me'ele teaches us any number of those five will be satisfactory to bring as a minchat nedava. That means that the word ve'eveta is not coming to teach you there's an additional minchat yachid that can be brought by nedava. That leaves it then available to be a limud, either for Rabbi Shimon to teach you that the minchat omer requires hagasha, or for Rabbi Yehuda to teach you that the minchat sota requires hagasha. Rabbi Shimon omer, eta mincha l'rabot shar minachot. So Rabbi Shimon says that eta mincha comes to include other minachot. Other minachot mean kagon minchat nachrim, minchat nashim lahagasha. To tell you that all of these also require a hagasha. Now this is not necessarily differentiated from the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama said eta mincha teaches you minchat choteh. All he's saying is eta mincha is inclusive of all other minachot that are the minchat hayachid. So that conclude minchat choteh like the Tanakhama says. But also, minchat nachrim, minchat nashim lagasha. Yechol shani merabeh, af shtei alechem v'lechem apanim. You would think maybe the shtei alechem and the lechem apanim also, again, the shtei alechem are called the mincha. The lechem apanim are assumed to be a mincha because they are made from the same raw materials as the other minachot, and all the mishnayot include them here. Tamad omar me'ele. That's what the pasuk me'ele comes to teach you. Me'ele from these types. So you have one word which is a ribui, which is eta mincha, and then you have one word that's a miut, which is me'ele. So now you say, I include all these minachot of the yachid, I exclude the shtei lechem and the lechem apanim. How do you know that that's the right way to do that? How do you know that I should include the other minachot and exclude these minachot? Rabbe ani shar minachot sheish mehen leishim. I'm going to include the other minachot because they have something that goes on the pyre. There is something inherently from them, a piece of them that goes on the pyre. Motziani, and I do not include shtei lechem, the lechem upanim, which have an associative part that goes on the mizbeach, like the bazicha levona or the kibsei atzeret, but they themselves do not go on the mizbeach. Shein mehen lishim. They themselves do not go on the pyre. Valo minchat nisachim. So now, what about the minchat nisachim, which entirely goes on the mizbeach? Yochei tuna hagasha. So then that should require hagasha. That fits the billing of what you're suggesting over here. Tamalomar vihikriva. That's what the word vihikriva teaches you. Vihikriva is a miut over here to say these are brought with hagasha, not the minchat nisachim. Vafikte. Did you already use the word vihikriv for a different limud? For Rabbi Shimon, that was the limud of minchat sota. That's how he knew minchat sota required hagasha. And so now, we're going to use v'kriva again. My answer is, it says v'kriv, v'kriva. The pasuk could have read, v'veta te mincha she'yasem el al Hashem, v'kriv el ha-kohen, v'gisha l'mizbeach. What's v'kriva? That's mentioned there with the mapikei. That's adds an additional possibility of limud. So one of them will teach you that minchat sota requires hagasha. The other one will teach you that only these minachot and not minchat nesachim. And again, maraita. How do you know the rabot shar minachot? Olotzi minchat nesachim. If I have a riboy and a miut, how do you know the riboy should include all the other minachot and the miut should exclude the minchat nesachim? So again, mirabeani shar minachot Shabaot Biglalatzman. I will include the other menachot that have this in common with the menachot of the Yachid that I mentioned here, which is that they all come of their own. They are not triggered by something else. Motziani Minchat Nesachim, Sheinaba Biglalatzman. And I will exclude the Minchat Nesachim that are driven by the korbanot that are brought, by the zevach that is brought, but they are not driven of themselves, independently or because of themselves. Valo minchat kohenim, uminchat kohen mashiach, ba'ot biglal atzman. What about a minchat kohen and a minchat chavitin that are independent, they come because of themselves? Yochol yutu not hagasha. You would think they require hagasha. Toma lomar vihigisha. That the pasuk says vihigisha, now they're using that as a miut. That these are put and not others. Mar says, hamibayle legufa, shetuna hagasha. Wait a minute. That verb you actually need. You can use all the other verbs if you want because they can classify them as extraneous. But hagasha is the actual din that you have to touch it to the mizbech. You can't make that into a limud now. But it says, no, no problem. Min veigish, veigisha. So again, the word could have been veigish, ela mizbech. Instead, veigisha, ela mizbech. The extra mapik hey there gives you the limud that it's exclusionary. Again, how again do you know that the ribuy of et mincha should include all the other minachot, and the miut of higisha should exclude the minchat kohen and the minchat kohen mashiach? Merabani shar minachot sheish mehen liishin ubaot biglal atzman v'yesh mehen lekohanim. The unique aspect of all the minachot that require hagasha is that they have three parts to them. One is part of it goes on the mizbeach. Number two is the remainder goes to the Kohanim. And the third aspect is that they are independent. So those are the three features that we're looking for. Motzeani shtei lechem lechabanim that fail, she'im en lishin. They don't have anything from them that goes on the mizbeach. Minchat nesachim, I exclude minchat nesachim, she'im ba'al biglal atzma. They're not independent, they're driven by the korban along which they are brought with. And minchat kohanim, or minchat kohen mashiach, they are precluded, because they don't have any shirayim, they are kalil the mizbeach. Therefore, they don't have anything that's given to the kohanim. And as Tosfot points out, the minchat nesachim could also be excluded for this reason, because not only does it not come independently, but it also doesn't have any shirayim that are nechal the kohanim. The truth is that point of Tosfot could be used to explain the different types of minchat nesachim. There's a minchat nesach that comes with a korban, and that's precluded because it doesn't come independently. But there is a minchat nesachim that does come independently, and that will be precluded from the fact that there isn't any shirayim in the kohanim. And so that the minchat nesachim will be excluded for both reasons, depending on which type of minchat nesachim that you are speaking of. And then this conclusion in the Braita goes back to what Balei Tosafot said in the Mishnah, which is, these are the real reasons why these are excluded. The common denominator between them, not the reason why they're excluded, but the common denominator between them, is the fact that they don't have a kmitzah. And so all those items that don't have a kmitzah are therefore also don't have hagasha. Again, it's a siman, not a siba. And that's what Tosfot was noting in the Mishnah. Veherim. So the pasuk says immediately afterwards, it's the next pasuk there. Veherim akwein min mincha et azkarata. Azkarata is a code word for komets. That you will take off of the mincha, azkarata, that thing that which will remind you of the mincha, and you place it on the mizbeach. That's the removal of the komets, to place it on the mizbeach. Then, yochol bikli. How do I know how to take this out of the utensil? You have the mincha in this kli sharet, now you're told to take the azkara, take that piece off and put it on the mizbeach. How do I remove that piece from the mincha? You would think you do it with the utensil. You have some sort of utensil, scoop, spoon that does it, and you take it out. Tamalomar, ferim imenu bekumtso. In Parshat Tzav, in Perek Vav, which is Zot Torat HaMincha, over there it's explicit. Zot Torat HaMincha, krevo tap ne'aron lefnei Hashem al pnei mizbeach. Ferim imenu bekumtso. That you take it off, bekumtso, with your komets. Mahara mahamor lahalan bekumtso. Just like the haramah, the removal of the komets from the mincha is done bikumtso, with your hand, with your fist. So to over here, ava ramah amurkan bikumtso. So to here, the removal of the komets from the mincha will be done in that similar fashion. You have haramah, haramah. Again, this quasi-zeh reshava that teaches you, just like by the Torah Mincha and Tzav, the Harama is done bikometz with your hand, the way that we've learned it already. So too, the Harama that's mentioned in Perek Bet of Vayikra, the kometz that's being removed, will be removed with your hand and not with a kli. And even though we saw earlier in the Masechta that Shmuel was of the opinion that you could use a kli for kmitza, the Rashash notes that what the Braita is discussing is what you should be doing with chatchila. Bidiyabad, if you do it with the kli, it will work. But the chatchila, you should do it with your hand, and even Shmuel will agree with that. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph.